Hey guys, welcome back to Vertical Momentum. This is going to be amazing. This gentleman that we're going to talk to, I've been watching probably for the last 20, 25 years, and I really admire him for what he's doing. He has one of the best bodybuilding shows ever, hands down. I've talked to several Mr. Olympias. They like to go over just to hang out and being around Mr. Sharu. So, brother, I just want to say thank you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Richard, and I really appreciate your time. And it's an honor to be on your show, and I appreciate the kind words and you putting across your YouTube channel for the American public, and I love to be on your show today, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So first question is, because we know you are a business owner, and especially here in New Jersey, our governor is not the greatest, and we were on lockdown for a while where all gyms were closed. So you had to become resilient. So what is your definition of resiliency?
My definition of resilience is, you know, just taking the positive thing out of any obstacle or any, unexpected circumstances, and finding out a way how to maneuver the situation and emerge as a winner, you know. Obviously, a lot of business owners got affected during COVID, but if you look from the business side, not from the gym owner side, but from the show perspective, our brand Sharu Classic has actually grown during the, you know, pandemic. The reason being, when certain companies are struggling, you know, obviously they'll be out of business. That will also, you know, give you a chance to enter the market because you're thinking outside the box, and you have strategy different compared to any other group, you know, at that particular situation. Because what happens is, when we go through situations like that, obviously there's a, you know, some sort of, you know, unexpected situation in the market where people are scared to invest or take the money out. But at the same time, you know, if you have a vision, if you have a right approach, you can gain max out of it. Because during COVID, a lot of promoters, you know, in the bodybuilding world, they didn't do the show, and obviously there were regulations. But I was mostly concentrating in India, but our chairman, Mr. Jim Mannion, he gave me an opportunity to expand the expo part in the NPC Nationals, you know, in the U.S. I saw that situation as one of the, you know, most interesting moment in my life. And whatever target we set up, we have a proper plan of action, and we put up a expo, say, 1 week before Christmas. And in first year, we you know, turned out to be one of the most successful event across the world, because we were able to build an expo and get, you know, customer base, which nobody was expecting. And this was around post-COVID, and at the same time, 1 week before Christmas, when people were having different priorities, either it's Christmas or they're out of money. But we were able to maneuver the situation and turn it into our favor, you know. And if I look at it, if that situation, if COVID didn't hit, I was spending a lot of time in India, and I would not have been in the U.S. Because of COVID, I was spending time here, and because of that, I got the opportunity. And because I stepped into U.S. market, it opened doors for us in U.K., Mexico, Italy as well. You know, I finished our Sharu Classic Italy last week in Rome, and 2 weeks before we finish our show in Delhi, where we have 170,000 visitors in 3 days. So mostly, like in India, we're putting 47 smaller shows, 2 big shows. And now in Mexico, we're doing 7 shows. In UK, we entering market on 30th July. You know, we finish show in Italy. You know, then in February, we did our show in Colombia. So we are present in 6 countries, and we try to do right things. And, you know, for me, resilience is you know, taking the max out of situation. If you think positive, it positive result will happen.
Now, everybody says that, you know, Los Angeles, Venice Beach, California is the mecca of bodybuilding. But I think that New Jersey has some of the best gyms ever. Your gym, Signature Fitness, Diamond Gym, Strong and Shapely, they're all badasses. Why did you decide to open up a gym in New Jersey?
You know, I moved to US in 2008 from London. And first I was in Staten Island, and then, I started going to Apollon Gym in Jersey, one of the famous hardcore gyms as well. And I feel the different environment, and people were more hardcore and athletes were more serious compared, you know, to New York City. But I also kind of got used to Jersey vibe, and I started looking to invest in gyms. I was looking I was very close to buy out a gym in Bronx, but, you know, that deal didn't go through. But they say, I mean, you're supposed to be at the place where it's written in your destiny. So I got opportunity to buy a UFC gym, which was Frankie Edgar's.
Yep.
In 2019, me and my cousin, we bought over. And then, you know, it's a beautiful facility in 5 acres with almost 35,000 square feet of build-up area and parking of 200 cars. So I saw that, you know, one of the amazing gyms with major opportunity. Athletes were very dedicated, all MMA, athletes who were coming and training. So we kind of changed the entire atmosphere from MMA. You know, we keep that. We bought some arsenal strength and hardcore equipment as well to attract all the bodybuilding crowd, because we saw in our area there wasn't any hardcore gym. So we kind of balance what UFC is providing. Plus, we added up our brand, so UFC Shadow Classic, to get, you know, more customer base. And people in Jersey, they react to, you know, new things pretty well. And the next step was to open a, you know, supplement store inside the gym. And that turned out to be pretty nice. So I saw that people were more serious, people are more hardcore, and you know, as long as it makes business sense, you know, I'm happy.
All right, so let me, you know, because like I used to go to the Arnold Classic every year, and it seemed like the last 10 or 15 years, I've seen a lot more Indian kids coming in. They love bodybuilding. They love, you know, I remember when Lee Haney and Rich Gaspari would go to India, they would just mob them. They just love bodybuilding.
Yep.
So talk to us about how you became a bodybuilder and what attracted you to the scene.
I started my, you know, bodybuilding career at the age of 15 years and 10 months. I competed in my first show. My brother took me to a gym like almost when I turned 15, because I saw him working out and growing, and I was always curious to, you know, join. But I was 14 years of age, so my brother told me to wait till I'm a little more grown up. Because back in India, there wasn't any, like, proper gyms, mostly hardcore, old-school gyms, you know, working out in, say, 90 degrees to 100 degrees, even on summer days, with no electricity and all that. So I come from that era. Pretty hardcore, but, you know, started my career from a local show at age of 15 years and 10 months. I won that show. I was always, you know, heavyweight, very athletic guy, because I was playing cricket back in the days, in my school days. And then I joined gym, and from cricket, my interest went to the bodybuilding, and every show I was entering, I was winning it. So that actually gave me more high, and obviously I was looking good. I was getting a lot of attentions, either it's school girls or anywhere else. So that also kind of motivated me as a teenager, you know. And then the interesting thing was, at almost 17 years, I won Junior Mr. India. I was selected to represent India in the Junior Mr. Universe. and I'm junior Mr. Asia. I won the Mr. Asia. So further, it motivated me. I got a lot of awards from the government as well. Then at age of 18, I won Mr. India. And from at the age of 19, I went to England to do my master's. And in UK, I won a couple of shows. I turned pro as well in 2002. But after I turned pro, I had a severe injury in terms of my pec. So I toned my pec. So that was end of my career. You know, I competed almost 10 years. You know, won major shows across India and UK and many other places. So after that, you know, the thought of if I can't be on the Olympia stage, I was honest enough to myself saying that, okay, if I can't do it with a torn pec, you know, I don't want to waste my effort. Let me build something which can help fellow Indians to achieve their goals to be at Olympia stage. So that's what led to the birth of Shiru Classic, you know.
Okay, so now, you know, when you're going back to 15, 18 years old, you know, we all know I'm a big fan of Dorian Yates. I loved old school. I love the HIT principles. But I also, I'm a big Lee Labrada fan. I love the way his body looked. So who were some of your influences when you first got started?
Obviously, influence from, you know, the body and the shape of Arnold and seeing him in the Hollywood movies was also was always motivating factor. But one of the best physiques which I have admired, you know, during my era was Lee Haney. And because, you know, Lee retired at the age of 31, you know, and that was commendable. And he's been one of the greatest Mr. Olympia ever with the 8 wins. And obviously, post that, I was admired by physiques of Jay Cutler during my era and, you know, Nasser Al-Sanbati, because yeah. Nasser came to India. Yeah. And, you know, I was, you know, naturally a big guy, like genetically. And when I start competing, you know, I went on to 252 pounds on stage back in the days. And I was, you know, the biggest Indian bodybuilder ever during my era. But I've always been admired. If I pick one person, Jay Cutler is my all-time favorite because he's been a great ambassador of the sport as well. Because when we talk about athlete and their career, you know, there's a representation of sport, not only on the stage, but off stage as well. And he laid out foundation and, you know, motivated so many athletes to actually tap into the avenues outside the bodybuilding world and, you know, avenues to tap to make money even after the athletes retire. Either it's launching a supplement brand or, you know, doing any merchandise deal, doing a deal with the equipment brand. So he kind of opened the doors, you know, from the entrepreneurship standpoint for an athlete. So I've always admired Jay Cutler, not only from his physique side, but from his overall prospect and him as a character, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I've met Jay a couple of times. We got the privilege to talk to him a few times. And he's such a smart guy. You know, he ran his construction businesses the whole time that he was competing. You know, he was like one of the first people, him and Johnny Jackson got, you know, were the first athletes ever to get signed to Muscle Tech back in the day. So he always had something going on. And a lot of it, you know, a lot of guys that are bodybuilders, once they leave the scene, they're never heard from again. Yeah. And I think everybody you mentioned, Nasser, you know, you talk about, you know, all those guys, they had something here. They were very cerebral. You know, they were very thought, like Labrada had his own lines. Lee Haney had his thing going on with Evander Holyfield while he was competing. So, you know, a lot of those guys were making money outside of bodybuilding. Because now bodybuilders, they don't make anything anymore with social media, right?
Yep. So, I mean, you know, social media is perceptive world, I'll say. You know, you can put across what you want people to think, but obviously, if you have, you know, you want to build your legacy, you need to have a legitimate business, legitimate, you know, work ethics, and, you know, a strategy how to grow and evolve as a person, and make sure your business is also growing. Back in the days, there was no social media. It's only hard work, you know. Now things are much easier. If you are smart enough, you with your hard work combined with the social media, you can do wonders. Obviously, the technology should be used in order to scale the business, not to abuse and, you know, to put wrong perspective. We do find, you know, people are so unhappy in day-to-day life, but on social media, they are portraying their most happiest person in the world. So that's also, you know, bad or side effect of social media. My recommendation, people should be, you know, as real as possible in order to stay happy. And there's no shortcut in life. If you want to be successful, you need to work hard day in, day out. And obviously, the journey is long. It's not a short journey.
Okay, so before we have, I want to talk about your injury, and then when I want to talk about how you bounce back. But I want to thank our sponsors. As you guys know, I love energy drinks. I was with GNC for over 32 years, and now I'm an old man. I'm only allowed to have one drink a day, so I choose Physics Zero, zero sugar, no crash. Tastes amazing. So if you like energy drinks, check out Physics Zero. So now, Shiro, take me back to the day you injured yourself, and did you know that your career was over at that point?
No, not that time. After that, I went to see a few, you know, the doctors, and I was advised the injury was too severe because it was a total tear, and from the both sides as well. So, you know, that time I thought that I should be able to recover, but post 4 to 5 months, I see that while I was recovering, there's a huge gap. And when I was hitting poses, you know, it wasn't looking. So one thing in my life, I've been honest enough to myself. Am I able to do it? Yes. If yes, okay, that's how what it's going to take. If realistically it's not possible, I'm, you know, a man enough to admit and, you know, realize that if I can't do it, I won't waste time. And that's what my approach in life has always been, you know. But at certain, you know, points when I see that the whole world is against me and I know deep inside my heart I can make this work, that time I'm, you know, one of the most stubborn person in the world who will not listen to anybody. But, I mean, this is the approach that led to me, you know, to certain level of success in life as well, because I've been honest enough to myself that if I can't do it, I can't. If I'll do it, I'll make sure I'll get the job done right.
Okay, so now, obviously, when competing, you're building relationships. You know, I believe that because you are such a nice guy, that you like building relationships. And I'm sure that you had a few mentors when you first got into the bodybuilding industry. Like for me, you know, for guys talk about promotion, you know, Jim Lorimer, you know, Mr. Mannion, Chang, you know, people like that. Did you actually, when you started to become, you know, wanting to start promoting your own shows, did you start finding mentors?
Oh, obviously. I mean, without, you know, right people, you can't succeed. You know, going back into 2008, 2007, me and my brother, we were sitting at Vegas Olympia, and we were in the audiences and discussing, you know, how we can take the pro show to India. And it was all about, if these guys can do in US, why can't we do in India? But the challenge was there wasn't any health and fitness expo or a pro show ever, not only in India, but ever in Asia. So, you know, I was invested in one of the supplement brands. And because of that, I was, you know, sponsoring many NPC shows here in US. So, you know, I was in touch with Mr. Jim Mannion. So me and my brother, we met Jim and we discussed how to take pro show and a pro league to India. He was kindly, you know, he was amazed by the idea. And he goes to me, young man, are you sure you can do this? And that time I was, 29 years of age. And he goes, are you sure? I said, yes, sir. So after extensive planning, we want to make sure that, it shouldn't be like any other show. We should, put a statement out there that, we are here. So we planned to put a show 1 week after Olympia. In order to get the best athletes, I have to do that. So Jim was kind enough to guide me that put a show there. And, obviously the budget was very high because our prize money was $250,000. And it was same Olympia lineup 1 week after Olympia. And we were almost at the same cash purse as Arnold Classic. And we have Phil Heath, we have Jay Cutler, we have, Kai Greene, we have Tony Freeman, we have Victor Martinez, Dennis Wolf, all competing in my show in India. And people were stunned to have, this Olympia lineup in India 1 week after Olympia. And obviously, Jim mentored me how to get these athletes. Other mentor I have, and even till this date, he's my partners in many show, and also my mentor is Robin Chang. Robin has, been running Olympia for 17 years, and now he's vice president of IFBB Pro League International. And we just finished our show in Italy last week. Before that, I work very closely with Jim and Robin, and they both been my mentors through my entire life and career. Not only from the business angle, but from, day-to-day activities and emerging and evolving as a person as well.
So, obviously, there's a lot of different personalities, because especially just from the lineup that you mentioned, there was 8 different personalities from Mr. Martinez, all the way to Mr. Wolf, So how do you, when you were, 29 years old and you're dealing with these guys that have been on stages in the Mr. Olympia, how was it dealing with them? And did you ever get a case of, because I know something, like when I knew that I was going to have you on here, I felt that I wasn't worthy to have you on the show, because you're such a great individual. And a lot of times we get people that when they start out a new business, they get something called imposter syndrome. Where, they don't think that I'm worthy to, have guys like you on the show or to, maybe host your own, thing. So what was that like? When everybody came together, did you ever have a moment and just sit back and just say, wow?
I did say, wow. It was a very emotional moment, but, I was prepared for this. And, when we announced the show, I have good 1 year. And we did a lot of promotions, shooting videos across US with all these athletes. And then I went to Olympia as well, where 1 week before our show, we did the entire campaign with all these athletes. So it's not like I wasn't familiar. I met these guys, many times before the show. And then obviously Robin was traveling to India with me. Robin actually organized the entire show and he was the main in charge of all the ops and the event flow. So Robin was dealing with all of these guys during Olympia. He goes to me, Shiru, don't worry, I got you. And let me deal with these athletes. You just concentrate on putting the good show. That's what happened. And, he's been, ever since those days, he's been a great friend, a great mentor, and a great leader, which I got a lot to learn on daily basis.
I've talked to some of those athletes, and they say that you put on probably the best show. And a lot of it is because you care about the athlete. They're not just being, shuttled to one room, warming up and going out there. You actually cater to some of the athletes and you actually make them feel worthy. So please talk about, a lot of people can put on a bodybuilding show, but not everybody can put on a Shiru Classic.
Because I think athletes are stars and the sport exists because of athletes and they should be given more respect, more love and more affection. And at the same time, more marketing as well in order to interact with, their fans. What I do when athletes come to India, we put a security in charge. We put in charge in terms of running the marketing campaign. We gave them manager. They have the full schedule for 3 days. And, you know, when you treat athlete with respect to giving them manager, giving them security, making sure their 3-day plan is there, they're making sure their plan and interaction time with media is there. And then, you know, you holding all the fans aside to make sure they come in on a red carpet and then photo ops facility, that makes them feel very, very special. And that sort of experience they never had. And interesting thing is, Indian fans are very passionate, you know.
Yeah.
And they love bodybuilding. So when they go to India, they feel very special and they feel like celebrities. And we spike it up, you know, with like a cherry in a glass of champagne to make it taste much better. So that's what we're good at. And that's what I realized because I come from a marketing background as well as a MBA student. And I think my experiences in terms of business school also helped me a lot in creating a brand value and in creating a market space which was never tapped in before.
Okay, now we're going to hop into something a little bit more serious now. And this is no way to cause any dissension or anything like that. It's just stuff that I'm noticing. In the last 3 months, we've lost a bunch of young bodybuilders. And the reason why I think about that, because I was, you know, friends with some of them, and I'm also involved in the military, and we're losing a bunch of them at younger ages. And I think a lot of it is because as we get older, we're not really taking care of our health. You know, we're not really worried about our heart, you know, our inflammation in our bodies. So I definitely wanted to talk about, you know, as we get older, how can we start taking care of our bodies to make sure that we live longer and enjoy life?
I think people need to be honest to themselves and never, you know, they can be mentally strong enough, but their bodies are not. So they need to find a right balance and not to push limits to an extent where, you know, they deteriorate their health. I think a regular health checkups are very, very important. I'll recommend every 3 months. And, you know, you are right that few young athletes, they lost their life. And I've been fan of, you know, a couple of them, like George Peterson and Cedric McMillan. Yeah. You know, Flex Roden. It's been really sad, you know, what happened. But my recommendation, if you ask me, once you cross 30, 35 years of age, you need to be more vigilant in terms of, you know, healthy lifestyle. Do not push your limits. Obviously, if your body allows you, and do consult your doctor, everything you do, especially in relation to your body and your, you know, obviously now science is developing, you know, I mean, more and more innovative products are there in the market, more and more new products are there in the market. But, you know, at the end of the day, without consulting the doctor, you should not put anything in your body once you are above a certain age, you know.
Okay, so now, you know, of course, I had to do my due diligence before I knew I was going to be talking to you. You're not the average bodybuilder that's eating 15 pounds of meat a day. So you eat a lot of vegetables. You don't eat many times a day. So talk to us a little bit about that, because that's a little bit opposite of everything we think we know about bodybuilders.
I'm a vegetarian. I've been vegetarian all my life. All I started is egg whites, which is last year in August, because I feel that whey protein, even like a couple of times a day, because it also have artificial content and sugars and all that, I want to cut that off as well. But I have been vegetarian all my life. It helped me a lot to maintain a healthy lifestyle, because my day start with a early hour 4 a.m. meditation, you know. That kind of set me up mentally. And in life, my experiences are, in order to achieve anything, you have to be, you know, mentally strong. And you should be able to, you know, live within yourself to an extent that, you know, you have control over the entire body, entire, you know, the doings, what you do during the day and during, you know, entire lifespan as well. But coming back to your question, yes, I only eat 1 to 2 meals a day, solid meals, and then I have 1 or 2 shakes. The reason why I do that, I'm not competing, and I don't want to put something in my body when I don't need it. I know, you know, exactly how many calories my, you know, body is burning based upon my metabolic rate. I maneuver my diet. My average, you know, calorie intake is not more than 2,500 calories a day, even though I'm weighing at 245 to 248 pounds all year around. But that's also because I have heavy bone structure. So, you know, I, even though when I was competing, you know, I was getting most of my protein intake from whey protein and, you know, a couple of days a week from tofu and all the vegetable proteins. And I was able to do pretty well, which many people thought is not possible. But I was able to, you know, do and contain it because I was always visualizing in my mind, that's how I'm going to look. And believe me, power of mind is a miracle. It can make you do so many things which will not have any scientific backup. And it all starts from meditation as well. And I will personally, you know, recommend every youngster, every adult to start meditating, because that's something which will help you evolve as a human, and it will activate your consciousness. When your consciousness is activated, which means that you are navigating between right and wrong. You should be able to analyze what's right and wrong, and you should be man enough to understand that what is right and what is wrong.
All right. So now, do you have your own supplement line?
No, sir. I don't have my supplement line because I'm a IFBB Pro League promoter. I put the expos where I have different, you know, supplement brands and the companies who are my customers. So from the business standpoint, it doesn't make business sense for me to compete against my customers, you know.
Okay, now, you know, because you said you do some protein shakes, so I didn't know if there's any companies out there that you wanted to give a big shout out to. That's why I asked you that question.
Big shout out to my friends, you know, at Redcon One, you know, Aaron Singerman.
Singerman, yeah.
He's, you know, my great friend since last so many years. When he used to be a media guy, you know, went to India, I took him to India, you know, and ever since then we've been great friends, and he's always supporting military guys. And obviously I use Redcon One protein, I use Jay Cutler's Cutler Nutrition, and also Infinite Labs. So big shout out to 3 brands, you know, which I use on a day-to-day basis. Obviously, all brands are good, but these are my favorite ones.
Yep. As a matter of fact, before we came on, I actually had one of the MRE bars, the banana MRE bars from Redcon One. All right. Amazing. So now I'm a big guy. You know, I love to talk about mindset. And I love that you said that you meditate, you know, in the morning. Like for me, I meditate every morning. And I found out that if you want to have a successful day, you have to have a good morning routine and a good evening routine.
Yeah.
So what is Shiru's routine?
You mean the morning one?
Yeah, morning and before you go to bed.
Morning is like I wake up, you know, 3:50 to 4 a.m. and then 4:30 I'm up meditating. And from then onwards, my, you know, India is 9.5 hours behind from U.S. 6 o'clock, my day start with certain phone calls back home in India because I want to catch up on work before the office closed back home in India, which is 6 p.m. So by the time my call start is 3:30 p.m. in India and 6 a.m. in the U.S., where I'm able to, you know, get on few phone calls, Zoom meetings in order to make sure I'm updated with all the, you know, day-to-day activities back home in India. And then obviously my breakfast time is around 7:30. First meal, which is oats and protein shake with my supplements. And then my day start, and I go to gym, I work out, and I have office in gym only. And then my whole day's activities are operated from my gym office. My meal is mostly in the afternoon, 2 to 2:30 p.m. And then, any meetings I do, I'm either in gym or in New York City if I have to come. And then day obviously finish around, I'll say, 8 p.m. And with my last meal of protein shake, and then I'm off to bed again, But if I travel a lot as well, if I'm not traveling, this is my routine. If I'm traveling, obviously, I have to do certain promotions. I have to be in certain cities, certain state, sitting with the sponsors, making sure they are happy, the deliverance is there, and the team meetings, I'm able to attend. But if I'm in US, I follow a very strict pattern in terms of, being disciplined, getting up early, and making sure I'm in control of my life.
Okay, but now you also said that you're a husband, and of course, a lot of guys and girls, we're all about business, but we don't make time for our significant other. Me, I got a beautiful bride, and I got three beautiful children, so I make sure I make time for them. So talk to us about making time for your significant others.
I think family is the biggest blessing, and it's very, very important for us to balance everything and take a life as a cake, and every pie is important for us. Yes, we should be passionate. We should be very motivated towards our work and towards, what we want to achieve in life. But if we bring anything to this world, if we bring life to this world, which means our kids, we should be responsible enough to make sure they are happy, their needs are fulfilled, and at the same time, you guide them as a mentor, as a father, as a mother, and helping them grow as a good human. Because school is family house is the first school for every individual. And what we learn at home first will always lay the foundation for our character, not only for us, but in generations to come as well. So it's very, very important for us to make sure our responsibilities are, taken care, when it comes to upbringing of our kids. And even though you doesn't matter how busy you are, you should dedicate time. Like, small example, I've been away for almost 3.5 weeks, in India, and back-to-back shows in India and Italy. So my kids were in Switzerland, and we have planned to come to Italy. So they came to our show in Italy. And then from there, I took a few days off to make sure I followed them in vacation and have a good family time. So, doesn't matter how busy I am, I make sure I never miss my kid's birthday, no matter what. I'm always, here in America for their birthday, and doesn't matter how busy the life is, I'm always, involved and evolve, always presence in their life.
I love it. So how do we find you? How do we support you? How do we support your mission?
My website is www.sheruclassicworld.com. My Instagram account is Sheru Classic Official. It's a blue tick account, and also Sheru Classic Instagram. We are on every social media platform, either it's Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. We are everywhere. We are present in 4 countries, which is India, USA, UK, Colombia, Italy, and Mexico. And we aiming to enter a few more regions as well by end of this year. If you need any information in terms of sponsorship or being participating in our expo, you can always DM me on Instagram or always email me. My email is very simple, sheru@sheruclassic.com. And I almost reply to everyone. We have a good social media team and a back-end team handling all my work. So doesn't matter whoever message, they will always get a reply back. And I try myself to reply most of the messages myself.
I love it. And I can't wait to get down there and check out your gym and hang out for a little bit. Sharu, I just want to say thank you, my friend. It's been a long time coming, and I was looking forward to this interview, and you did not disappoint.
Thank you so much, my friend, and thanks for having me. And I'm looking forward to see you in our gym very, very soon.
I will, my friend. Guys, so make sure you check out Sharu, Sharu Classic, total class act. If you love bodybuilding, his Instagram account is truly amazing. He's got some great stuff going on there. So definitely check him out. Guys, like I said, I want to thank our sponsor, Physic Zero. Thank you for keeping me going. I love you guys. And like Oprah Winfrey says, if you want to help yourself, help somebody else. So try to be good to each other and help somebody today. I love you guys. Have a happy 4th of July. Stay safe. And remember, vertical momentum. The only way to go is butt. Oh. All right, Sharu. Have a great week, brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
God bless you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for joining us today. Please hit subscribe and share. Please feel free to leave us a comment.